Now proceed east on Village Road East towards Southfield Road and Village and Grover Schools. Be careful when crossing Edinburgh Road. Note that Edinburgh Road is another colonial era street dating back to 1754 when it was part of a route linking Allentown to Princeton in colonial Windsor Township. Pause this recording and resume when you are standing at the long gravel driveway surrounded by farmland on your left, about halfway between Edinburgh and Southfield Roads. Look at the farmland in front of you. This is Grover Farm. Although the farmhouse is gone, the land is still farmed to this day, a remnant of Old West Windsor. The farmstead dates to the mid-1800s, or maybe earlier. Its first known owner was the Hooper family. The Grover family, who also owns Grover's Mill, acquired the property around 1917. According to Leroy Grover, the farm's last individual owner, cows were kept on the farm until around 1935, when the farm switched to potatoes. Later, strawberries, peas, and potatoes were the main crops. Leroy was an active member of his community. Born on the farm, he was a lifetime farmer and co-owner with his wife, Florence. They opened their farm to children and adults who eagerly picked strawberries, corn, tomatoes, and more. They also ran school tours and barbecues for the West Windsor Volunteer Fire Company. Additionally, Leroy was a member of the Dutch Neck Presbyterian Church, serving as a deacon and trustee. In 1994, the township instituted the first municipal open space tax in New Jersey and acquired the Grover Farm that August. Since this first purchase, the town, individuals, and community groups have ensured that about half the town's land is preserved. Leroy and Florence remained in their house for the next 15 years. Florence moved out in 2009 and ceded the property to the township several months after her husband's death. Unoccupied and unmaintained, the house soon began to deteriorate. Despite a community push for a volunteer-driven reconstruction, it was demolished in 2013. Still, a few outbuildings from the early 1900s remain. Now look at the flagpole and the large stone plaque at the entrance to the driveway. This is a memorial to Thomas Roy Grover, son of Florence and Leroy, who was killed in the Vietnam War. Thomas was born in 1946, grew up a farm boy helping his parents with the harvest and going to the local schools. The summers were long and busy with the routines of farm life. As a childhood friend recalled,
"The air was always scented with the smell of the earth as potatoes were being dug, the smell of tomato vines when the picking was on, or wheat from the combines."
But Thomas Grover's fate was changed in 1967 when he enlisted in the Army during the Vietnam War. The next May, he began his active duty tour as a specialist class 4 in South Vietnam on the other side of the world. Sadly, he was killed in action on the night of February 2nd, 1969, when as part of an ambush patrol, he left his position to support squad members under fire. He received a Silver Star and 2 Purple Hearts. His body was recovered and buried at the cemetery behind Dutch Neck Presbyterian Church. Every year, a rock is placed on his headstone to mark a visit by someone paying respects. He is also honored at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Mercer County Park, in addition to other sites in New Jersey and Washington, D.C. And of course, there are the boulder and flags right in front of you, all standing at the entrance to Grover's boyhood home. Now look east to the large red, white, and black building in the distance. This is the Thomas R. Grover School, built in 1999. It was named in honor of a boy killed the very year the West Windsor-Plainsboro School District formed. The school's library contains a collection of letters Thomas wrote to his parents, another way our town remembers this soldier. Now walk toward the school until you reach the Beth Chaim Synagogue, a few hundred feet on your right. Pause this recording until you get there.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Shehecheyanu
Beth Chaim is our town's first and only synagogue. Let's travel back in time to the early 1970s when the area, including its Jewish population, was growing rapidly. In June of 1971, several local families met with rabbinical student David S. Posner at the Heightstown Firehouse. They discussed the need for a Reformed Jewish congregation for the modern family. That summer, they named themselves Beth Chaim, meaning House of Life, elected an executive board, and chose Posner as their first rabbi. An initial membership of 51 families in 1972 grew rapidly over the years, originally overseeing a religious school and services hosted in East Windsor. They also adopted a constitution emphasizing contemporary relevance to millennia-old tradition. In fact, in November 1972, Beth Chaim even sponsored an evening with Sally Priesand, America's first female rabbi ordained by a rabbinical seminary and the second ordained female rabbi in global Jewish history. Several rabbis succeeded Posner, including Harry Rothstein, Mark Loeb, and Jeffrey Behrman. In 1976, the temple here was dedicated as a permanent house of worship. Attendees watched as the mezuzah, the symbol of identification of a Jewish home, was affixed to the doorpost of the building, the Torah placed in the ark in the sanctuary, and the eternal light kindled. Although the building amid farm country was small at first and was jokingly called the Little Shul on the Prairie, the dream of a dedicated synagogue was now a reality. In 1977, Beth Chaim appointed its longest-serving leader, Rabbi Eric Wisnia. Under his direction, the congregation grew rapidly to over 800 families by the early 2000s. The synagogue expanded along with it, growing to the size you see today. The temple continues to serve a multifaceted role in the community, hosting various religious, ethical, and political discussions and cultural events. They have also strengthened interfaith ties around the area and continue social action and outreach. In 2019, Wisnia retired after 42 years of service. He was succeeded by Brian Beal as interim rabbi until Rabbi Adina Blum took over as the new permanent spiritual leader. Under her leadership, Beth Chaim, still attended by some founding members, continues to serve both religious and community needs true to half a century of tradition. Hey, look at that. You're almost finished. There's just one chapter left, the finale. Please start walking back to the heart of Dutchneck where we started and play the next video.